You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Suffering from chronic pain or chronic disease can be extremely stressful to you and your family, and over time it can change one's mindset and even one's personality. Now here on Wellness for Life Radio, we have the best-selling author of Change the Story of Your Health by Dr. Carl Greer. He's a clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst, and shamanic practitioner, and believes that you can heal your mind and body by using ancient techniques of journaling and self-discovery exercises to create new stories of your health and life. Thanks so much for being here on Wellness for Life, Dr. Greer.
Glad to be here.
Now, before I ask you questions about your book and your strategies, can you please explain a little bit about your clinical background and what does it mean by a Jungian analyst as well as a shamanic practitioner?
Jungian analysts believe that much of our behavior is determined by parts of us that are unconscious, and it behooves us to get in touch with those unconscious parts, and there's techniques to do that. Shamans would believe similar things, but the unconscious for them might expand to nature and realms that would be like your past reincarnations, your future lives, and they have techniques to journey to those places to get information and energy.
Got it. Well, so talk to us about this, your book, Change the Story of Your Health. Now, was there a personal story for you before you wrote this book?
I had written another book that had done pretty well called Change the Story of Your Life. And I had won some awards, and it was bestseller in some venues. And people who had read that book and used some of its techniques in talking to me, a lot of their concerns were about health. So I decided that I would write this new book just focusing on physical health.
Got it. Well, I know for a fact, just from all my patients, I've been in practice for almost 28 years now. And often people come into the, especially with chronic illnesses that they've had for, let's say, 20 years since their childhood. It's literally part of who they are, you know, and I think that's what you're talking about. Is that correct? It's like...
Absolutely. And then, so for people who are concerned about their health with chronic conditions or just worries about it, I suggest the first step is to really be honest about what is your health story. What do you tell yourself about yourself, your health? For example, do you say, gee, I've got this thing that there's nothing I can do about it? Or I'm really always tired, but I'm so busy that I don't have time to eat right or exercise. So I think the first step, Suzanne, is for a person to really be honest as to what is their health story. And then to kind of envision, if they had their druthers, what would they like it to be? And at that point, then you have that question, well, why isn't it the way you'd like it to be? And I have found that for many people, there's part of them, usually unconscious to them, that just doesn't want to change. So part of my practices are to help a person get in touch with those parts that don't want to change and those other parts that can help you change. And those are practices based on shamanism and based on Jungian work that really, in fact, can make a big difference in helping people get a new health story that's going to allow them to be more vital and, in some cases, live longer.
You know, what you're saying just reminds me about a patient who has a great deal of anxiety and has had anxiety her whole life. And, you know, we talk about the anxiety, but what happens is that... like her, but of other people who've had also chronic illness, they have a tendency to have an answer for everything, right?
Yep.
Just like you said, it's like, well, I don't have time. Well, you know what? That person is, you know, creating the anxiety or treating me poorly. Or I know that if I eat the wrong foods, this happens. But I mean, there's always these kind of like one answer constantly that gives us, I don't want to call it an excuse, but they get in the way of that individual really recognizing what's wrong with them or why they're going, you know, because I'm someone who likes to get to the root cause of everything, right? Yep. And that's what you're doing too by creating inquiries with them, asking them questions, asking them specific journaling techniques and writing them down. What you're hoping is that they're going to discover, it's through their self-discovery, they're going to find out what really is the root cause of it. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. It's like that person you're talking about, their ego, their conscious position is they've got lots of answers to it. They don't want to hear anything else. But a couple of the practices I would suggest to somebody like that, I'd say, okay, I want you to have a conversation with your anxiety. I call it a dialoguing process. And somehow just imagine that it's a part of you that's influencing you, which in fact, Suzanne, it is. And then just say, hey, you know, what message do you have for me? And if the person can really, and this is possible, but it's awkward for a person the first time they do it because it takes practice, but if they can really become that anxiety and then have, let's say, Jane, who has the anxiety, is asking, anxiety, what can you tell me? And then become the anxiety and let that anxiety speak to Jane, it's amazing the insights that Jane can then start to get. And similarly, I talk about we all have an innate healing capacity. I call it our inner healer. You know, it's kind of the consciousness, the awareness of your immune system. You can have a conversation with your inner healer and say, all right, inner healer, what can you tell me about my anxiety right now? What do I need to let go of to have less of it? What do I need to get more of to have a better relationship to it? And it's amazing, Suzanne, how those conversations with these unconscious parts of ourselves can free us up to make changes.
Gosh, I love that idea. And I'm sure it works well because I call it the inner voice. You know, let's talk to our inner voice.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, same idea.
Yeah, it's all the same. And we have so many parts of ourselves.
We've got
the young self. We've got the courageous self. We've got the scared person. You know, we've got the mom in us, we've got the dad. I mean, we've got so many different parts of us. We kind of like forget that you're right. You can talk to ourselves. Having that dialogue within ourselves can really be healing. Now, I'd like to ask you, is it something that you recommend? Like, for instance, if you feel you're feeling something, whether it's anxiety or sadness, to just start by doing that, like talk to that inner voice saying, okay, sadness, what's going on here? And you recommend writing about it.
Yeah, you can first have the conversation and then afterwards write it. Because sometimes if you're writing while if you try to do too many things at once, you kind of lose the power of the experience. Similarly, when you're doing a journey that I talk about different journeys a person can take in my book, have the experience. Don't try to analyze it too much when you're having it. Write it down, and then think about the meaning it has for your life. So, yes, if you have sadness, as an example that you brought up, ask it, why are you coming on me right now? What can you tell me about what's going on in my life? Then after you've had the conversation, then you can write it down, Suzanne, and kind of think, hey, how does this apply to my everyday? What can I do differently as a result of this conversation?
You know, so often, very often, when I'm working with my patients, I work in a much more in a one-on-one level. What I mean by that is I do a lot of muscle testing to get information of that individual when we're looking at their diet and their organ health. But often, sometimes it's actually a mental thought process that can be trapped in certain areas. You know, some people have mental connections to their gut, let's say, or if they've got a migraine, you know what I mean? There are these
Absolutely.
Little pain bodies that can be trapped in, and it's linked to some mental process. And I mean, so often people think the thought process and how they think about things can be so harmful, and that takes them outside of their body. Do you teach anything in your book about how you can connect to your body rather than be so much in your head?
Absolutely. Let's say back to your person with anxiety. Maybe not in front of you, but you know, do a little dance for your anxiety. And so, what dance as if you're your anxiety. And when people start to do this, they develop, you know, part of themselves that's observing them dancing, part of themselves feeling it, and all of a sudden they're kind of feeling something in ways they can't hardly describe it, but they're aware of it. They're dancing their anxiety, and then say, "All right, dance as if you don't have anxiety, and notice the difference." Paint your anxiety, or write a poem about it, or what's a song that captures it, and what's a song that would capture you not having it. And the more I find, Suzanne, as I think you're doing some of the work you do, the more you can circumambulate around an issue, the less trapped you feel by it. So when you're doing, manipulations and applied kinesiology, stuff like that?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so you probably see that seemingly one thing that doesn't seem related, all of a sudden everything's connected to everything else, but you just have to find kind of the right little key to get everything kind of back in moving towards equilibrium. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about in my book, just ways for people to circumambulate around their health, to get new insights and wisdom about it from a lot of vantage points, and all of a sudden then they have more resources to make changes if they choose to.
I'm glad that what you're telling me is that you implement the physical body to heal your mental thought processes or your emotions, because I'm a true big believer of that. I mean, I recommend using the activity, creating action in your body can often just minimize the energy and dissipate that energy. That's what you're saying, right?
Definitely. And another really powerful belief I have is that nature, spending time in nature, can be very healing.
And, I love that.
Yeah, start to interact with, if you're around a lake or a river, and think of it as a living energy. That's a shamanic idea, but you know, other people start increasingly think that everything has a certain level of awareness, and that we can relate to that awareness, and so. When you're in nature, you just settle down more. Your frontal lobes are kicking in a little less. Your sympathetic nervous system quiets down. Your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in. Your immune system seems to kind of strengthen. Being around water, I talk about fire ceremonies. I talk about lying down in the earth and, you know, some practices for that. Working with the sun. And I have found through my own experiences and those of many people who have done these things, it's very powerfully transforming in terms of both mental and physical health.
Yes, people forget that they are mammals. And, you know, I called in my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, I have a whole section on stress and how to clean it up. And one of it's called nature bathing. And that's exactly what you're saying, using the elements of nature to be able to connect your body, connect you, and you can, in fact, go deeper into your true inner voice and talk to your inner healer as you're calling it the inner healer. You know, when you say shaman, you know, some of our listeners may not really connect with that, but the truth of the matter is all ancient countries all around the world have these ancient healers. And that's what a shaman is to me. So, you know, some people think shaman's like, oh, that's something, you know, woo-woo, but it's not true. It really is finding the ancient healer within you.
Yeah, it's a belief that, you know, we're more than what we think, that we came from some place, we're here for some purpose. You know, we're questioning who we are, what we are. We're not sure, but we're probably going to if we're going to go to someplace afterwards, in these invisible realms, is it possible while we're alive here to kind of relate to them? And I think we all can, and that's what shamans do.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, in your book, I think you even go into, let's say, chakra work. Is that right?
Yep.
And chakras are these energy centers. Can you explain a little bit and how you suggest in the book how to help ourselves work with our own chakras?
Well, I think that we humans are all energy. We're kind of congealed energy in a universe that has energies that we see and that which we don't see. And you can think of a human being as having a luminous body that has spiritual aspects to it, psychological aspects to it, physical aspects to it. And this luminous energy body can get clogged up sometimes with stuck energy. And there are techniques we can do for ourselves, visualizations, to help clear that that field. But also, there are many traditions that believe we have these energy centers called chakras that we can play, you know, cleanse and reilluminate and then rebalance. And by so doing, this luminous energy field becomes healthier. That influences our spiritual bodies, our psychological bodies, and our physical bodies. So they're all kind of intertwined. You made the point, which I agree with 100%, that the mental and the physical are intertwined. But I would say the energy body and the mental and physical are, as well as the spiritual. You know, our spiritual paths are all mushed into this big conglomeration of what we are as humans. And there's techniques and things we can do to work with each of those fields together and individually that can make us healthier. And I try to talk about those things in my book.
You know, you remind me of when I was, gosh, it must have been over 20 years ago, Carl, when I was working on my throat chakra. That was a long time. Growing up, you would never think that I had a throat chakra problem. And a throat chakra is like, I had difficulty speaking my truth,
yes.
You know, when I couldn't deliver my messages properly. And today, I mean, I'm a radio host, right?
Yeah, right.
Which is great.
Right, right. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I would have never done it. I would have never done any of this radio talk show, being on stage, on TV, all this stuff I would have never done except that I actually started working on my throat chakra. My throat and clearing and getting stuff, it was interesting how even wearing a turquoise necklace helped me.
Yes.
Because turquoise is the color of the throat area, isn't it?
Well, yes. Many traditions.
Or at least blue.
Yep. Many traditions have attributions as to the power of colors and sounds and gemstones and ideas to relate to different things. And if you understand these correspondences, then you're able to use those to heal various things. And kind of sympathetic medicine. And I believe in that. And it's amazing to me that even though some traditions have slightly different nuances to it, many of them have very similar beliefs about the power of colors and gemstones and so forth to give healing.
Right. I look at my history where even at four, I didn't even speak. I barely spoke. Up until like maybe 5, 6, you know, I didn't use my voice very well. If you listen, I have like a hoarseness in my voice as well. And so all kinds of stuff has happened growing up until I really just started figuring out what I was afraid of to speak. You know, I was kind of afraid to speak up. In chiropractic school, I was the top, I mean, like one of two top of the students. And I purposefully didn't want to be number one because I didn't want to give the, you know how the valedictorian speech?
Sure.
I mean, these are the things that I changed literally the course of my life because I didn't want to speak up. Isn't that interesting?
It is. And it's so interesting as you say, now you're a radio host.
Yeah. Well, what I did was about 20 years ago, I really needed to start really being an advocate, it really had to do with my son, because my son was extremely ill from allergies and anaphylactic reactions, and I had to be, I had to literally speak up for him. And just from doing that and becoming his advocate and helping him heal, helping him create a healthier life, it actually healed me, which is amazing.
Well, and you're making, go ahead, Hush.
You understand? So it's like, but all in all, the dance we had together, Cody and I, my son, was so important for not just his life, but my life and what we do together today. You know, I'm, you know, the universe works in just the most brilliant way. And you just want to be available to listen and accept it.
Yeah, you're saying a lot of things, but two that come to my mind. You know, one is you got to be available. And one way to be available is to be, from time to time, be kind of quiet and still, and don't have all your mind just filled with thoughts and activities all the time. The other thing you're saying is sometimes by you being involved in healing your son, it was healing to you. And if we can think of ourselves as part of a larger community, both we're talking about all these parts that we each have, all these different voices. And so you've got an inner set of communities that you're trying to heal, various parts of yourself. But also as you're working on behalf of nature, of others, it's amazing how our own health issues get relativized once we start to think of ourselves as part of a larger collective, that we're all in it together. I don't know if you find that, Suzanne, but I certainly have.
You bet. Absolutely. We are. And you know, with my experiences, and I know you're probably, with your experience with your patients and all that, you are helping so much more. But just by even writing this book, you're able to reach out to hundreds and thousands of people who would have never known, you know, your methodologies.
That's my hope. That's my hope.
Now, do you have a practice where you actually see clients in your office?
Yes, I do.
And where do you live? Where is your office, by the way?
I live in Chicago.
Okay, gotcha. So in Chicago, anyone can see you, but how about for people that live, let's say, in California or anywhere else in the world, how do they work with you?
Well, I've had workshops, and I've been doing radio shows, and I'm getting a little older. I'm 76, and so I'm kind of cutting back on some of these things, spending more time doing some teaching and writing, and they...
You know, you don't sound at all that you need to retire.
Well, thank you. But, you know, writing takes some time, and interacting with people around the ideas in my book, like we're doing, takes some time, and that's kind of how I think I can get my message out, in addition to working with people one-on-one.
So let's chat just a couple more minutes on your book, on Change the Story of Your Health. Besides journaling, being more introspective, doing even physical movement work, what else do you recommend?
Well, these journeys, you know, shaman's a journey to different realms. You've heard people probably talk about soul retrievals. So I talk a little bit about going back to your past to see, and I have a process in my book, what factors in your past might be influencing your health today. What do you need to get rid of from your past? What do you need to gain from your past in order to be healthier today? And I have a similar journey going to the future. And let's say for yourself or for me, let's say you go out 5 years in this journey, and I guide you through it in the book, and you make no changes in your lifestyle, what's your health going to be like? And then if you were to get rid of something, what would you need to get rid of to be healthier? What would you need to gain to be healthier in the future? And then how would your life look if you did those things? And it's amazing, Suzanne, that we have a knowledge about these things that's inside of us. And when people can do these journeys and they can see how their past is influencing them and what they need to change and how their future is going to be unless they make changes, those are powerful forces to get people to change.
Well, I'm a big believer in that as well. It's creating your destiny by, using vision boards and, as you said, just figuring out. I'd like to live over 100. That's my goal. So I've already planned a lot of things out myself, and I help my patients do that. And that's all what you and I are both doing is helping people do that. And so your lessons are not only important for yourself, but at this moment, but it's also for your future. And that's really powerful.
Yes.
Very good. Now, so where can people learn more about you and your work and about your book? I should say books, because you got more than one book.
Well, I have a website, carlgreer.com. This book will officially be coming out next week, Change the Story of Your Health. You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in some smaller independent bookstores. My publisher is Pinhorn Press. My other book is Change the Story of Your Life. Both books talk about using shamanic and Jungian techniques to help you interact with these places that can give you energy and information to change that usually are unconscious to us. And I have Facebook, Twitter pages. So that's...
Well, Carl Greer, and that's with a C, CarlGreer.com. Got to get that book and start using those techniques so that you can start to discover who you are and who you can become. And that's an exciting thing. Wow, Carl, this was excellent. Great information. I've put a link on my website, Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy and enthusiasm and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.